Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
You are a human animal. You are a very special bird. For you are the only animal who can think, who can reason, who can read.
Hello, and welcome to Bookworm. This is Michael Stoneblatt, and today my guest is Andrea Barrett. She's the author, most recently, of The Voyage of the Narwhal, published by Norton, the author previously of a National Book Award-winning collection of stories called Ship Fever, and the novels that preceded that are The Middle Kingdom, The Forms of Water, Secret Harmonies, and Lucid Stars. Now, The Voyage of the Narwhal is a voyage of exploration to the Arctic that takes place in 1853?
55 through 58.
And it's a very interesting book because it takes that period, in a sense, of American literature, which would include Poe and Melville, and looks at the underside of the glorious expedition. In other words, we're looking at a world that is uncontrollable by man, and a world that resists his domination. And we watch usurpation going on at a level of consciousness and literature that the classic American novels were incapable of. What led you to take this up?
It's probably the intersection of exactly those books, which are books I love and admire and formed me in part as a writer, and then a separate interest in the history of Arctic exploration, and in particular in that period, the decade in which the book is set, which is also the decade in which there was this great ferment in American literature, was one in which explorers from England, America, Russia, Germany were all going off in search of the relics of Sir John Franklin's lost expedition. And there were over 60 expeditions that went searching for him. All the people who came back published memoirs, accounts, diaries, letters of their journeys. So in addition to the fiction of the time and the other things that we think of as the literature of the time, there is also this great sea, if you will, of exploring memoirs. And those fall outside the traditional canon of literature in a sense, but they are very much of the time. And I suppose it was some sense of wanting to blend those two traditions together.
Now, I was fascinated because, you know, Toni Morrison talks about the generation of whiteness in classic American literature, in particular bringing to bear Poe's author Gordon Pym and Moby Dick.
Of course.
The great vision of whiteness at the end of the Poe novel and the vision of the white whale, she says, are the absence in those novels of a coherent vision of what society is facing at the time, the verge of a race war.
Mm-hmm.
Here, too, although the book is about usurpation in so many different ways of knowledge, of gender, of primitive peoples, there is no representative of the black man, although there is considerable talk about slavery. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, it seems intentional, in fact.
It was intentional. It seemed as I was writing through the book, and still seems to me, that it is not coincidental that 4, 5, 6 years before the Civil War, in the midst of this great turmoil, in the midst of this great argument, the fantasy and that most preoccupied Americans was a fantasy of white places. All those people who came back from polar explorations, at least theoretically, you know, covered with rime and snow, frostbitten, everything in them turned to whiteness and deadness, that's where the imagination of the public went. That's what was easy to talk about. Not race, not slavery, not the things that were actually tearing the country apart. And I thought if I left that element out, in this case, if I didn't include anyone in the crew who represented that element, it would make more clear that polarization and that sort of fantasy of whiteness and purity that the pole came to represent.
Now, there are figures of usurpation throughout, as I said. The most painful is the knowledge that on land and sea, knowledge is being stolen. The hero has been previously on a voyage where his notes, his data, his specimens.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.